Rabban has a commentary on Kumash. His style, like in his commentary on Novi, his style is that he always gives you the moral of the story. He deals with the whole parsha, Kumash and Novi, he deals with the whole parsha, and then he says we can learn from this section of the Kumash 25 lessons. Then he gives the one we have a different leaders today is this is. So he says we're supposed to learn from all of the stories in Tanakh. So we're supposed to learn from the story over here that we should listen to our parents when it comes to Shidduchim. And when it comes to life in general, the parents told Yaakov, Yitzchak and Rivka told Yaakov that he shouldn't marry any of the shiksas in the neighborhood, and he should make sure that he goes to Padan Aram and marry a nice Jewish girl, whatever that meant at that juncture in history. So the pasuk says that he listened to him. Ayelach Yaakov. He listened to his parents and he succeeded. The Chachamim comments in the Gemara Brachas on the next passage by Yivka Bamokom, Ein Pigia Veloshim Tfilo, Shenemar Al Pivgabi, Rashi quotes it, Velamadno Shetikin Tfilo Sarvi. So what do you mean by Yivka Bamokom? And he daven to Hashem. Mokom is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mokom. And then he says, why is that for the called Malcolm? She only called him Shalom, and then called him the Kalmachim. When did he use such a Lashon Malcolm describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Very unclear. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested, I don't know that it says this in the Midrashim, maybe what he said is Alber HaDrash. It doesn't say, I don't know if it says this in the Gemara Midrashim. He said that the Gemara has a common. Well, the Medrash has a comment contrasting the Nevuah of Yeshaya and the Nevuah of Yecheskel regarding the Gilui Shechina. That Yeshaya HaNavi sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu sitting on his throne, and he hears the Malachim saying Kadosh, 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 that is Kedusha. And then Yecheskel HaNavi sees Baruch God Hashem Mikom. So the Gemara has a contrast, the Medrash has a contrast between the two, so the Gemara says that Yeshaya is like a dead ear, and Yecheskel Bakaveni Far. The Belt usually learns Pashup Shant in the Gemara that Yeshaya was much more sophisticated than Yecheskel. The Gemara is saying that Yecheskel was like an elderly. We see that Yecheskel ever said anything or did anything that was like a farmer. That Yeshaya was so much more elegant, but it's a fancy people in Yeshaya than Yecheskel. So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that the Pshat is not that he was a Benir and he was a Ben Kfar, that the Gemara is saying Madrega is a Nebuah, that Yeshaya's Nebuah was on a higher Madrega, and Yecheskel was like a hillbilly, but rather what he means to say is that Yeshaya lived in Man HaMikdash and he lived in Eretz Yisrael. So we understand the Melech appears, and you can bump into Bush in Washington, D.C., but you're going to bump into President Bush in a little village, in a little dorp. It doesn't make sense. So how does the Rebbe Shlomo appear on Chutz La'aretz and go with Bavel on the Har Kvar after the Kurdin Beit HaMikdash? That's what the Chacham meant to say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Yeshaya as a dead ear, like a person who lives in the capital city. Which ear? He lives in Yerushalayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him like a king, appears to the people who live in the capital city of his kingdom. And HaKadosh Shlomo appeared to Yecheskel that was like a Ben Kvar. There was a Chiddush that there was a Gilui Shechina in Chutz La'aretz even after the Kurdin Abayim. That's how the Belt says over the same name of the Vilna Gaon, the quote of the name of the Vilna Gaon. So then she suggested that maybe that's why in the Vuas Yirmiyot, that's why maybe in the Vuas Yecheskel it says Baruch Bar Hashem Nim Komal. When you see the Shechina from a distance, when you're in the middle of the Kedusha in Yerushalayim, in the Beit HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael, in the middle of everything, but then you don't call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mokom. When you're in the Shechina of Merochak Hashem Nirei Elai, from a distance, after the Churban, and you're not in Eretz Yisrael, you're in Golos, so then you say, Baruch Bar Hashem, Mim Kol Mo, the Shechina's over there, somewhere in the distance. That's where Rav Soloveitchik took it, that we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Mokom, when there's a state of Hestepamin, when you're in Chutz La'aretz, when you're in Golos, that kind of a time. That's why he used to say, he was fond of saying that, why, when you go to be Menach Molos, they say, Hamok in Menach Mesen, and so on. So why do you say Hamok? He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Menach Mesen. We refer to the Baruch Shalom as HaMokom because in that state when someone dies, say if an old person dies at the age of 150, he lives a ripe old age and he has great grandchildren. So no one feels that it's such a great tragedy. But usually someone cries in the Beis Ochel because they feel that there was some tragedy involved. It's, in a certain sense, there's a little bit of a hester punish that the Avelim feel that it was a little bit unfair that this person died. They have a little kindness against the Rebbeinu Shlomo. So this is a hester punish. So that's why we say Hamokam in Achnas. We refer to the Rebbeinu Shlomo as Hamokam because it's not like in a state of Gibbush Shechina. That's perhaps what the Pasuk refers to over here. When Yaakov Avinu leaves Eretz Yisrael and goes to Chutz La'aretz, then the Rebbeinu Shlomo is called the Mokom. Like when Yechezkel Hanavi is saying his Nevuah, it says Baruch Kvod Hashem Min Komo, that's when the Rebbeinu Shlomo starts being called the Mokom, when you're far away from the Mokom of the Shechina. When you're still in Eretz Yisrael and you're still in the Mokom HaMikdash and the Gibbush Shechina and everything is going well, then we wouldn't really call the Rebbeinu Shlomo by the Lashon Mokom. That's where Rabbi Levi says it. That's up there, Hadran. That's not what it says in the Midrashim. The Midrashim say a different word. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekom Mishalo L'Main Ha'olam Mekom Mo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is L'Maila Min Azman and L'Maila Min Amokam. He created the world. He had to create Mokam and Zman. The Reish is Nami Maimah Hu. The Gemara says that the Mishnah says the Birkei Avos Basar Mamaris Nivra Ha'olam. So the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that when you count up how many times it says Vayomer Hashem, Vayomer Hashem in Bereish, it only appears 9 times. So where's the missing mimer? So the Gemara says, Bereshis Nami Mimer. When it says Bereshis Bor Elokim, that was also a mimer. What was that mimer? So the Mepharshim say that that was the mimer. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create there? What did he create when he said Bereshis? He just said, we're starting now. So that was already a creation. What did he create? He created time and space. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is L'mayla Min HaMakom, L'mayla Min HaZman. The Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as Mokom. Anyway, that's the Agadah that the Gemara has in Brachas, that Yaakov Avinu was the one who was Misak and Tfilas Arvin. Balei HaTosfos points out that the Pasuk seems to say that he davened and then he went to sleep there Kivu HaShemesh because the sun had set, but he davened before Shkia. And in fact, Rashi quotes the Medrash, Kivu HaShemesh, the sun set early. But the Rebbeinu Shlomo wanted him to go to sleep over there. So what do you mean he davened Ma'ariv so early in the middle of the day? So he says, so right to the Rabbi in Tam, the Balei HaTosfos say like that, the Achronim also say like that. So right to the Rabbi in Tam, in the first place of the Brachas, that you can daven Ma'ariv after Plagamim. Achloikis is in Kanoim. When is the Sof Zman Mincha? Rabbi Yehuda holds that you have to finish davening Mincha by Plagamim, and if you finish the Zman Mincha, then the Zman of Ma'ariv begins. The Rabbi in Tam says that's what we practice. But then Tom is bothered with the question, places, Rashi and places in the beginning of Brachas asked the question, how come they used to daven Ma'ariv so early before Tzeisah Kechavim? The Mishnah says, you're not Yotzei Kriyas Shema before Tzeisah. Then Tom says, we don't pass like the Mishnah, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. David Kamar Rav David Kamar, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda that you can daven Ma'ariv in Yotzei Kriyas Shema after Plagim. So the Balei HaTosfos, Hanchumish, quotes that a mocker to that Shitas Rabbi Natan, a good raya to Rabbi Natan from this pasuk. The Gemara they had the tradition that Yankee was in the second Tzivos Arvid, and his davening Meir is revolt Yom Kippur.
Not
to
use Shema. Not to use Shema.
Right, that's what the Rosh disagrees with Rabbi Natan. Says even if you all like Rabbi Yudah, that you can daven Meir, you have to plug a mincha. How do you know you can be Yotzei Kriyas Shema? What does Kriyas Shema got to do with Meir? We daven, we have Sneichus Kulu Tzivo. The Abichas Kriyas Shema, you have Goal Yisrael, then you have Shmon Esther. So the way we daven, we should really say Kriyas Shema after Tzeisah Tuchom. But the Rabbi Tam holds like that. The Rabbi Tam holds that since the Gemara says the other came out, but if you want to follow Rabbi Yudah's opinion, you may. And Rabbi Yudah says you can daven Ma'ariv after Plagu Abinami. Rabbi Yudah would say that you can be Yotzei Kriyas Shema after Plagu Mincha Tzepela. How can the Rabbi Tam say that we follow that? The Gemara Dovid Kemarov is because davening is only the Rabbanon. The whole meaning of davening Ma'ariv is only the Rabbanon. It's not a Chiyuv Min HaTorah. So the Gemara says they never resolve this machlokes. They say, speak to the Rabbanon Kulam. Yvonne, you have a right to follow Rabbi Yudah. But with respect to Kriyas Shema, they are Isa. How can the Rabbi Natan say that we follow Rabbi Yudah? But the Gemara leaves it up to, the Gemara leaves an option open on beating their Isa. That's what the Pri Chodesh says in connection with that Taisa. This is Taisa Lishitasa. The first Taisa in Brachas Lishitasa. That they hold that Kriyas Shema is also the Rabbanon. The Gemara says in Brachas, the Machlokes, but the Kriyas Shema is the Rabbanon, the Kriyas Shema is the Rabbanon. And the Shagasari collects all of the Taisas in his Shas. The Taisas in other places, the Taisas seems to pass in Allah HaMai, because that Kriyas Shema is love their right. That's why he holds that the Ovid Kimarov, the Ovid Kimarov, the Gemara says one chooses to, he has the right to follow Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, to daven Ma'ariv early, you have to plug on Mincha when the sun is still shining. The Rabbein Tam over, that applies also to Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is also only the Rabban. What's the moral of the story here? So the Ralbach says the moral of the story is when you're doing something, you should do it with haste and with Jesus. Don't wait to do tomorrow what you can do today. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. His parents told him to go to Chora, so he went to Chora. He went. Chacham didn't even say that he had a Kritzat Derech. That was Min HaShemayim he had. Why did he give him a Kritzat Derech? Because Min HaShemayim he saw that he was running. He was going fast.
14 years in between.
Okay, you had to learn. You have to learn in Chayla a couple of years in order to get a good shit. If you don't go to Lakewood first, then you won't get a good shit. So he knew. They knew the secret about the days of the Yankee Rabbi. Assume that that was also our peak people of his family. That we should learn in basement Rosh Hashanah. The Rabbah says also, what else do we learn from the Pasuk? That a person shouldn't do anything that's dangerous. He shouldn't walk around in Manhattan in the middle of the night. All kinds of strange birds walking around there. It's by Yavin Kibor Hashem. By Yavin Shem. He went to sleep because the it was dark outside. The person in his haste to do a bar mitzvah shouldn't forget about the mitzvahs of the world. It's a dangerous neighborhood. They shouldn't walk there at night. Sometimes you walk in the daytime either. One medrash has it that he took 12 stones. And then the Gemara says that all of the stones blended in together. They all blended in to become one stone. What's the significance of 12 stones blending in to become one stone? But his brother was showing him that he was going to have 12 children who were going to represent the Yud-Bei Shvatim. And then Rashi quotes in the Medrash later that the Imahus and the Vios tell you that Rachel and Leah both knew this, that they're going to be 12 Shvatim, and they were, each one was vying with the other in order to see who's going to have more of the Shvatim. What's the significance of having 12 Shvatim that blend in to be one big stone at the end? So the Morgan Avraham alludes to the Arizal that the Shvatim represent different drachim in Avodas Hashem. So the Bnei Shalom doesn't want everybody dafke to follow one derech in Avodas Hashem. There's different types of neshamas, and every neshama has a different way to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And basically there are 12 different drachim in Avodas Hashem. That's what they quote in Arizal, that there are basically 12 different nuschos hatfilah. And every nuschos hatfilah fits to that person who belongs to that shaven. And then he added on that there's a Shar HaKoilo. The Pasuk says in the end of the Yecheskel that Blessed Lovin, when Yerushalayim will be rebuilt, there'll be a big wall surrounding Yerushalayim to protect it from any attack from the enemy, and then there'll be 13 gates to enter Yerushalayim, 12 gates for each one of the Yud-Bei Shvatim, and then there'll be a miscellaneous gate for Shar HaKoilo. Whoever doesn't know what shaven he belongs to can go through that gate. The gates represent different approaches to the Beit HaMikdash, different ways to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these are the different drachim in Avodas Hashem. The different shvatim represent different drachim in Avodas Hashem. It's all one klal Yisrael. So they're all serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's Eilu V'Eilu, different drachim in Avodas Hashem. That's what the Arizal said, that there are different mitzvos atfil, each mukhuv and keneged, each one of the Yud-Bei Shvatim. And then there's one nusach, the Shar HaKadosh, that's the miscellaneous nusach, whatever shevet you belong to, that nusach will be okay for you. He said that that's the nusach hari. He said that nusach that fits anybody and everybody, whatever shevet you want, that's nusach hari. If you want to daven any other nusach other than nusach hari, so it has to fit with your sharish neshama, it has to fit with the shevet you happen to come from. But nusach hari, he claimed, fits for everyone. That's why the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva that if you want to, you can switch about switching a nusach from one nusach to the other. So he says to switch to nusach hari. That's perfectly okay. That's the Shara Kelo. That's the very result then. That nusach fits everybody. But if you have nusach hari and you want to switch to another nusach, that's sometimes permissible, sometimes not, depending on whether you can ascertain what shevet you come from. So if you know what shevet you're from, so then you can daven. If you know what nusach fits in with that shevet, so then you can switch to that nusach. If you don't, then you have to stick with the nusach hari. That's what the Sam. Who knows what shevet they come from? The Kohanim and the Levim, now they come from Shevet Levi. Which Nusach corresponds to Shevet Levi? I don't know, most people don't know what Shevet they come from. What's significant about the Chalom of Yaakov Avinu is that the Medrash has so many different interpretations of what the Medrash is supposed to represent. The Ralbag, in his Pirush on Chumash, when he writes the moral of the story, what it's trying to teach us, Toaliyot, that's what he always calls Toaliyot. Toalos Ayesim Yassi Barazeh Ahua, Toalos Arishayna, Toalos Ashniyah. That's how he writes on Torah and Nevi'im, the same stuff. He says one of the Toaliyot of this story is that there are those who believed in more than one God. The Umasar, they thought that the Ruchnius must have been created by one God, the Gashmius must have been created by another God. But there seem to be so many contradictions. You have a Tzadik Ralo Rosh HaTavla, you have a lot of Tzadikim are very high in Ruchnius and very strong in Gashmius. You have the other contradiction also, you have Rosh HaTavla. That's what brought them to believe that this contradiction, this apparent contradiction, must be a clear indication that Rai Rura, that there are two different gods competing with each other and each God created. We don't believe in that, we believe there's one God. We believe that the one God created Shamayim Va'aretz, the Ruchnius and the Gashmius, and there is a connection. There is a connection. There is a relationship because it all comes from one source. Everything comes from Hashemayim. So the Rebbe tells Yaakov, "Ato shayach v'ala l'cho et nenu ulezarecha." So the Medrash comments on this. The Rishonim wrote their own Midrash. Apparently, they must have had some oral tradition. But you have a lot of Rishonim all say the same thing. It doesn't appear that they all copied from one earlier, from one Rishon. Not that one Rishon made it up. Someone had a Masoros Bal Peh. So the several of the Bali Atosis write on this pasuk that Mikan Lamadnu the Din and the Gemara in Chazkis Abatim Hamatziah Masoros Minyusei Ager is Kono. The Gemara in Bal Bas learned it up from a different pasuk. That sometimes one can accomplish Kinyi Chazoke on a Soda Shal Hefker by laying down and going to sleep on the Soda, but that would be Koine. Mora has Ezim Chazok, Mishnah has Bo Bas and Wata Chazok here to be Koine, and all go to Rapara, and make some kind of a Tikkun HaKarama. And then the Gemara says, in rare cases, sometimes by Nichse Ager, Matiyah Matzoros would also be Koine. So the Rishonim have that there's a tradition that that's what happened over here, even though Avraham Avinu already made a Kibbe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Kul Misal V'Oros L'Or for the Roch Lo Kib Bilokoi Tineno. He's going to give and the Gemara says, not, I'm going to give it in the future. The walking was the king. Even though Avraham Avinu already made a king, and the male should go to Yerushalayim his children, but still, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make a bris with each one of the others individually regarding Eretz Yisrael. So the bris was made with Yankif also by his sleeping on the limb. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu mentioned, why does he have Horat HaShat Shekha Ramel, why does he have to say Shekha Ramel? Just say Horat HaZos, Ani Naisim, Mechal Zarecha. HaShekha Ramelecha, is the kinyan with which he was koyin. The bris was accomplished by Yidei Shechiva. And we have the din l'daris also sometimes. Hini anochi imach, indication that he's going to be a special hashgacha pratis. We believe in hashgacha pratis for all human beings. The Rambam in Gemara Nevuchim claims it's only hashgacha pratis for human beings, not for animals. There are some who disagree with the Rambam. The Rambam has a pasuk in Navi, which he understands like that. The Kadosh Baruch Hu only gives the Hashgacha Klolus to the whole min in the animals. And Hashgacha Prat is to the individual person, that's only by Bnei Yodim. So here the pasuk tells us, in Nechi Yimach, that Klal Yisrael has, that's how the Ramban stresses many times on Chumash, that Klal Yisrael is the Ma'alim and Ateva, that we have more Hashgacha Prat than the Umas Oil. The Ramban is so, it's the Gemara in the end of Shabbat, that ain't Mazol the Yisrael. But Klal Yisrael is not Tachas Shlita, Tachas Chav, Mahamazol. We have no Teva at all. But yes, everything is L'mayla Men HaTeva. Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnaso. Yankov wakes up in the middle of the night. And he realizes, Achen Yesh Hashem Amak Mazer, V'Anochi Lo Yodoyti. Hey, this is the Beis HaMikdash. Vayiro. Ayoyim, Manayro Amak Mazer. Hey, I shouldn't have slept over here. So the Rishonim all point out that the Halacha says that there is a mitzvah of Mikdoshi Kiro, there's a mitzvah of Meirah Hamikdash, one is prohibited to be mezalzel in the Kedushas HaMokhaim. And it not only applies in the Mokhaim HaMikdash, but you stand in front of the Kosel HaMarov and you start schmoozing about all of your friends and about the latest Lashon Hara and everything. In front of the Kosel HaMarov, true, you're not on the Mokhaim HaMikdash, but facing the Mokhaim HaMikdash. There are people who have apartments in the Rova there, so they just look out their window and see the famous Hakdoshim there, so they play cards at night. We've got some of this stuff. One woman told me that she can't watch television, she can't play cards. She gets frightened from the Bayer HaMikdash, and other people do. It doesn't bother them. They look out the window, they see the Bayer HaMikdash, and they go about their own business. That's what the Torah tells us, that this is a natural instinctive feeling that a person should have. Madara Makam is the aim that came basically by Yira, by Yayma, you're not supposed to sleep in the Makam. And a Beisach Nes, this is the same thing. Torah says that a Beisach Nes, this is a Mikdash Miyat. The Pasuk in Yecheskel says that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to send the rain soil into Golos, and even when they'll be in Bavu, but hey, let them Mikdash Miyat, they will be going to see us about the Yigosha, Shabbat Bavu, that's been more in the end of Megillah. And the Rishonim and Achrayim have a machlokes whether this is a din deraisa or a din derabbanan. The Ran and the Gilu say that that whole Gemara is only an asmachta mid rabbanan. That the Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is only mid rabbanan and it's not mid atzeres. Others disagree. The Rambam and others, other Rishonim hold that it's really a din deraisa, whatever it is, whether it's a din deraisa or din derabbanan. There is a din in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch. The person has to be very careful about the Mora of Beis HaKnesses. To talk to one of the tailorman shul, not to talk to the tailor in addition to the regular prohibition of the divide of one of the tailor that applies wherever you happen to be, not to talk to the tailor. It speaks to the tailor, Lashon Hara, whatever, in the Beis HaKnesses is an additional prohibition of Manor HaMacham Azeh, of Migdoshi Kiro. But plus it sounds like Yaakov Avinu woke up in the middle of the night. Vayikat Yaakov Mishnas Vayom, he wakes up in the middle of the night, then Vayashkem Vayom Vavoyker, Vayashkem Yaakov Vavoyker, went to sleep again. He just said, hey, this is the Makam HaMikdash, I shouldn't be sleeping over here. So then it says, Vayashken Yaakov Vavoyker, Vayikach HaSkeleh HaShesam HaRashes. So what happened over here? Went back to sleep in the Beis HaMikdash. He gave his Rosh and then he went back to sleep. So the Mefarshim say, the Rishonim say, no, that he stayed awake then. He didn't go back to sleep. So why did he wait Vayashken Yaakov Vavoyker Pasuk Yudches? He waited till Vavoyker. Why did he wait till the morning to do that? Why didn't he do that right away in the night? And pack up and leave. Take his neder and leave. Why did he wait till the morning? So the several, the Panim Yofis has this. Panim Yofis is by the Baal HaFlor. Several others have like that. That the din is that korbanos can only be offered by Yom and not by Laila. Not only Kabbalah can only go off by your opinion, Beis HaMikdash can only be done. Beyond Hakim Moshe Samishkan. But you have to make him Samishkan, you have to make him Samishkan Balayla. If one Shavuos learns that in that talk. Opinion Beis HaMikdash has to be by Yom. But this is only when you have a Beis HaMikdash. What about an Abama? So the Gemara says in the end of Zvachim, you can be Makrif Kabbalah on Abama Balayla. There's no Pesul Laila by Abama. If there's no Pesul Laila by Hakrobus, then you can build the Abama also Balayla. So the question is over here, what status did this place have? So he said, Einzeh, Yaakov Avinu said, Einzeh Kiim Beis HaLakim, this is the Beis HaMikdash, this is the real thing. So if I want to make a Mizbeach, I want to make a Matzeva, I better wait till the morning in order to make it by Yom. You can't do it by Laila. Abom or Chutz LaMikdash, you can make by Laila because you can be Makruv on Abom or by Laila. But in the Beis HaMikdash, just like you cannot be Makruv Korbanos by Laila, he says you cannot build the thing in Beis HaMikdash by Laila. So that's what the Panim Yofis, and other Rachmanim say that he waited till Boker. Doesn't mean that he went back to sleep and then he woke up a second time. Now, if he was terrified and said he made a mistake by sleeping there, so he wouldn't sleep a second time. Just means that he waited till the morning in order to make the Matzeva.
What's the Kodesh?
They sleep in the Makom that's not the Kodesh. Yeah, they had in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash. Didn't have Kedusha Samikdash. He apparently was sleeping on top of the ground. But they did have Kedusha Samikdash. Vayira Yankif Neder, and he took a Neder. So the Rishonim asked on the first daf in Kulin, on the base, the Gemara Kulin quotes the Machlokes Satanoim, on the first parak in the Dorim. Also, the Gemara has Machlokes of Yudah and Rav Meir. How do we read the Pasuk in Kohelet? Tova Shavatidim Mishatidim Veleit Vishalim. The Tanoim say that we should always try to stay away from taking the Dorim. Because you may take a netter and you may not live to pay off the netter. So how come by either Yankif netter? What does he take a netter? If he wants to give the talk, let him give the talk already. What does he take a netter? Now he's penniless. The makli avarti is hayad nazeh. He didn't have anything. He just had his stick. So why does he take a netter now? That when I'll become a multimillionaire, I'll give a lot of charity. When you'll become rich, you'll give it. What do you have to take a netter? You may violate the netter. The basis in the beginning of Kulin, based on the base, quotes a voracious rabbi on this passage. And it's quoted in Yeridei on the first page in Hilchos Tamdar. The Yeridei is traditionally printed in the Vilna edition of the Yeridei, and they have three volumes. But the third chelik of Yeridei begins with Hilchos Nedarim Shvuos. On the first page of the third chelik of Yeridei, they quote that page. Yida Yankif Neder Leimar. What does it say, Leimar? Vadava Hashem Moshe Leimar. The Gemara says in Yuma Leimar means Leimar to Yisrael. If the Rebbeinu Shem would only tell Moshe Rabbeinu the Dinim and he wouldn't tell him expressly that he has permission to tell other to Bnei Yisrael, it would have been understood that it's supposed to be kept a secret. That he should understand he's not allowed to tell it over to Bnei Yisrael. It's supposed to be Vadava Hashem Moshe Leimar. That's why he was permitted to tell it over. How did the Chacham understand Leimar? Yida Yankif Neder Leimar. Don't you see the Pharisee? The word Leimar just means saying. He's not telling it over to anybody else. And the Medrash says no, Leimar Ladiris. The Medrash darshins on this Leimar also. Leimar, Yankiv took a neder to teach all future generations that whenever they are the Eish Tzara, they should always take a neder. And the Skus HaNeder, this may help them, even if they don't fulfill the neder. Even if they don't fulfill it. That's the Gemara in the beginning of... The Gemara in Tainus tells the story that once the Malchus made a Gzeira, and the Chachamim were going to kindness. And then the Malchus said, we don't allow you, that the Chacham are to be going to kindness, to break the Gzeira of the Malchus of Rishon. So the government said, not only do we make the Gzeira, not allowed on Shabbos, not allowed to keep kashrus, whatever, not allowed to do bris milo, we don't allow you to fast Tanais meetings. So they couldn't even fast the kindness. So the Gemara says, they're on the cut. They took a ned there, that when the Gzeira will be over, when times will be better, they will be able, they will fast at that time. So the Gemara says, and they were answered, the prayers were answered. Even though they didn't actually fast yet, just the Kabbalah Satinus itself already helped. The Kabbalah Satinus itself, even before they were Mekayim the Neder, they were still under the Gzeira. The Gemara says, how did they know that that was significant? How did the Chachamim at that time know that that would be meaningful? So they learned that up in the Pasuk in Daniel, where it says, in the Yeis Nasati Alibi L'Hisanos, from the day that I took the Neder to fast, so the Rebbeinu Shem already was kind to me, even before he fasted, before he actually fulfilled the Neder. So that's what the Medrash says over here, that a person who is the Eish Tzara, you have finals coming up, whatever, you're worried about Shiduch, and you're worried about Parnassah, people are losing jobs, people are not so easy to find jobs. So if a person lives the Eish Tzara, he's in a difficult, he or the whole community or the whole world, and the whole world is based on. So the person should be in the Kabbalah upon himself, Nidorim, and the Schus Kabbalah Sanhedrin, even before he observes the Nidorim, the Schus Kabbalah Sanhedrin, he should deserve a Yeshua. The Shulta Giborim in the beginning of Kulin, and that first daf in Kulin, because Tosfos quoted this Medrash, Giborim quotes the Machlokes Aposkim. Shulta Giborim is a very early Akron. The Ramah quotes sometimes from this. The Ramah and Shulchan Aruch quotes every Sawaf, but the Shulta Giborim on the Gemara. He calls the Shulta Giborim Hagos Alfasi. That's from the Shulta Giborim. So the Shulta Giborim there quotes the Machlokes HaRishonim regarding a Neder B'Yeshtar with a Yeshua HaTorah. Some poskim hold, it's a big issue, halacha l'maaseh. Let's say someone was very sick and they took a neder to give $100,000 to stuff. And then they survived their sickness, they got better. And now they feel it's too much to give $100,000 to stuff. They want to make our person dorm. I mean, some would have realized that times are so big, it's too much to give. He wants to give $50,000, he wants to give $70,000, doesn't want to give $100,000 to stuff. The Tom Rishonim said, the same as any other net, you can have a turn. I just say, what are you talking about? This is a deal over here. He promised to give the Rebbeinu Shel Olam $100,000 to stop this. He understood, I'm going to give me a refresh later. My children will be cured and everybody will be healthy. We're going to have a time. Also, we're going to have happiness and so on. So if I'm going to back out on my half of the deal, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam decides to back out on his half of the deal, so he'll make me sick again. So Tom Rishonim say that you're not allowed to make a haftorah. It's a sakana if a person makes a thousand dorm on a neder that was taken based on. So that's the Shulta Gibbon quotes from Machlokes. And the later Achronim have Rabbi Yehuda Chosid and the Sefer Hasidim talks about that. Is it improper to be matan neder that was taken based on? The later Achronim discuss it. Allah said what the din should do. So he took a neder that he's going to give, and Yehuda Kimi Modi. Shmarani Bedara has evanotanly lechlecha lebeged lubish. The Rishonim all comment on this. We should all learn from Yankiv Avinu that we should not be lohud achar hon rav. There are a lot of people, most people in our generation that are so eager to make $1 million that they'll work from 5 in the morning till 12 o'clock at night. People that, let's say, a fellow becomes a lawyer, they have such wild hours. They work their heads off, unbelievable. They have no life, they have no marriage, they have no, they don't enjoy their children, they can't learn a word of Torah. A person becomes a doctor. At least a doctor wants to, is helping out mankind. Sometimes, depends what kind of a doctor. He's curing people. So the doctor sometimes has such crazy hours in the hospitals when they're preparing to become a doctor. They have to work there for 36 hours straight. Wild stuff. The question is, if the person's motivation in becoming a doctor is just in order to make a lot of money, if he wants to become a doctor in order to cure all the sick people in the world, the Tavola Bracha, he has to work crazy hours. There's about to be a serious message for humanity. But if his desire in becoming, if what motivated him in becoming a doctor is that he wants to make a lot of money, like some doctors make a lot of money, so that's terrible. He has no life. He should be. He has no marriage. He has no children. Nothing. He has no time to learn. It's better to be a garbage collector, to work in the post office, and to lead a normal life. So that's what the Rishonim will point out on this pasuk. Yaakov Avinu was an intelligent person, and he asked for lechem lechol beg a little bit. He doesn't ask for $1 million. Even by yeshiva people, you have such chalomim that they want to make $1 million. So don't stop thinking about the $1 million. Just make a parnasa and fasting. The shabti b'shalom al beis aviv hoy Hashem lila lukim. What does that mean? Hoy Hashem lila lukim. So some Rishonim say what it means is the kol ador. They quote the Tosefta Avodah Zarah comments like that on this pasuk. Why does it say here v'hoi Hashem li v'alukim? Because the Gemara says in the end of Tzubis the kol ador bechutz l'aretz kilu ein lo alokah, the kol ador be'eretz yisrael kilu yesh lo alokah. So when the pasuk says he prays to the Ribono Shel Olam, bring me back to Eretz Yisrael v'shavta b'shalom al beis aviv, he's now in chutz l'aretz. He says if you bring me back to Eretz Yisrael, then v'hoi Hashem li v'alukim. That'll be natural kilo yeshli elokim. Kozman that I'm living in chutzlars is kilo elo elokah. Then his nether is pasuk chavei. It's not his nether. Rashi and Rishonim say that's not the nether. If the Baruch Shalom will protect me, give me a parnasa, and I will return back to Eretz Yisrael, then I promise I will serve God. That's not part of the nether. That's part of the tanai. What does the tanai mean? I will return to Eretz Yisrael, be kilo yeshli elokah, and then. Then the nether is, but even as also shasamti matzei, but yeah, beis alekim. Two parts to the nether. He'll make this into a beis amigdash. The second part is v'chalo shatitim li aser asven aloch, and he'll give tzedakah. So the pasuk continues to say the way he went further deep into chutz l'aretz, and in the middle of chutz l'aretz there's an oasis, middle of the desert, there's an oasis, and he sees Be'er Basara, there's water in the Shlosha Edrei Tzon. So somehow, the Rishonim all had a tradition, apparently they had a Zohar. The Zohar has it. Rishonim had a lot of Balei HaPesach write this tradition. That this parsha, the whole section in this parsha, beginning of the parsha, is alluding to Yemos HaMashiach. The Mashiach is going to come, like the Liman HaTorah, the Be'er Basara is Liman HaTorah. The Shlosh Edrei Tzon are either the three parts of the territory of Yom Tzuvim, but some say it's referring to the three generations of Yemos HaMashiach, that the Gemara speaks about three generations. Gemara in Sanhedrin, the most Perek in Sanhedrin has a lot about Mashiach, but the Gemara speaks there about the fact that they're going to be three generations of Yemos HaMashiach. That's how the Rambam also writes. Melech HaMashiach will rule, he will die, he won't live forever, he will die, his son will take over after him, and then after he dies his grandson will take over. That's what the Rambam writes. But the Rambam Alpi Pasha just means to say it's going to be Olam Kimin Haganai. There's not going to be any basic shinui. So he says he's going to die like everybody else, not going to live forever, his son and his grandchild. So others point out no, there's Tafkin, the Rambam was Medui, because the Gemara said there's going to be three generations of Yemos HaMashiach. So that's what some interpret over here. The Shlosha Edrei Tzon, a representative of the three generations that is going to be Yemos HaMashiach. And somehow they interpret Ohev and Gedol Al Pi HaBe'er, the bear with the mayim, with the sweet water, is the Limud HaTorah which enables Mashiach to come. For Yemos HaMashiach there will be more Limud HaTorah, the truth in Limud HaTorah will be uncovered. And that's the Shama Kol Ha'adar Megalos Seven Al Pi Abayer. So the Rishonim say, Moshe is a Kenyan from the Balei HaTesis. They write this chapter. It's all based on a Zohar. And that's the Shama Kol Ha'adar. When you get all of the Chachamim together, then they can succeed in uncovering the truth. Megalos Seven Al Pi Abayer. then they can figure out the Amitas HaTorah. The Gemara says, Cherag HaMabazim V'Noalu, the one, the end of Brochus, says, Cherag HaSanem Shal Tamidei Chachamim, a curse upon those Tamidei Chachamim who don't learn B'Chavrusa V'Tavim. It doesn't mean B'Chavrusa B'Chavrusa. Some people just don't lend themselves to learning B'Chavrusa. Some people, for whatever reason, have to learn by themselves. That means they learn it, they've met it with others, and even if they learn at home, they discuss it with other people. They look in other svarim. That's also B'Chavrusa. You look in this sefer, the other sefer, the other sefer, look in other svarim, so you get a consensus of the way other people are thinking. So that's also B'Chavrusa. But there are some people, they just take Tanakh and Gemara, and that's it. And they're going to figure everything out on their own. So the Gemara says, a curse upon those people, that they're never going to figure out the truth of the Torah. So that's what the Rishonim had a tradition that Al Derech HaSod, Al Derech HaRemez, that's what the parasha is alluding to. In essence, Shomer Kol Ador V'Zor Lo Esoladim Al Pi Aver. The Bear has the real Mesikus HaMayim in it, the Mayim Mesukim HaTorah. So you have to get everybody all together in order to uncover the truth of the Torah. And sometimes, in the Bali HaTais is saying, sometimes when everybody gets together, the Yaskashas and they give the Rutsim, and the Yaskashas and give the Rutsim, and the Yaskashas, and it's light by Akash, and it's light by Teku. And it comes out that it's still covered. The truth of the Torah is still covered. The Yeshiva is there, and I'll see how they're going to come up. Sometimes after they thought that they uncovered the water, and they figured out the Amitus of the Seudas of Torah, they have to cover it over and say Teku. That's what they say. Then they continue to say, the next Sukkim also. Everything is alluding to Biyos HaMashiach, HaYidavim HaTar, the whole, it's an additional level of interpretation. The whole Kol HaTorah Kula was written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, so that there's the Pshut Lashon Nigro, which is certainly a story about Yankov Avinu. And then there are allusions to other things as well. There are additional levels of interpretation. Apikshuto, the Pasuk says that Yankov Avinu, Apik the Zohar, the Zohar is the Rishonim with the Bali HaTeshuvim say that they wanted to hasten the coming of Mashiach, and Yankov Avinu says, what are you talking about? It's a long way to go. They're not holding anywhere near. Lo Eisei Aseif HaMikna, Ashku Hatzonu L'churiyu. It's not time for Mashiach to come, they said, because Mashiach is not going to come until after the 4,000 years are up. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, in the first Perek, and the Gemara says in the end of Masechet Rosh Hashanah, that they had a tradition that Shis Alfin Shnin Havi Yama, the world will last for 6,000 years, and the last 2,000 years Ayimot HaMashiach means that it's not Shaykh that Mashiach should come in the first 4,000 years. So when people are trying to be Matrik, hastening on Mashiach, before the year 4,000, now it's way after the year 4,000, all of a sudden by the year 6,000. But before the year 4,000, so that's what the Roshan say. It's not time now for Mashiach to come. No end here. Ashku Atzon L'chul Yu. Go learn some more Torah. Go learn. So you'll be able to maintain yourself in the Golem. That's what the Remez is. But what the Pshuto shall make? The Pshuto is that Yankov Venus sees that they're not putting in a full day's work. That the workers are cheating on the boss. So he tells him that's not right. He never met these people before. He never was in this country before. He walks over to people that he never met before and he says, I beg your pardon, you're cheating on the boss. You are engaged, you are hired by your boss and you're salaried money, you paid money in order to do a job. And now it's not the time. So the Rishonim and the Achronim all point out, Mikam Lamadnu, that's how the Rabbat points out, that's how the Baal Yafes is, the Shaloh has a lot of times things that are also quotations, straight verbatim quotations from the Rishonim. The Shaloh has on all the Sedras of Chumash, at the end of the second Chelik of the Shaloh. He has drushes, then at the end of every parasha he has musa. And the musa that he has is often verbatim taken from Bali HaTesis. The Bali HaTesis that we didn't have for a long time, that was manuscript, and now they printed over these Bali HaTesis, manuscript word for word, same as the Bali HaTesis has. So they all say, Mikam Lamadnu, that a person, Harei B'Chaver Dov Sheinu Meduna, Chai B'Hochicha, even though you don't know who the other person is, you shouldn't just say, I'm going to mind my own business. Like the American way, each person minds his own business, he let the other guy do whatever sins he wants. No, you have an obligation to tell the other people that what they're doing is wrong. The pasuk says that when Yankov Avinu saw Rachel, Vayigash Yankov v'yagav l'shevem al pi aver, Vayashkes tzein lo v'nachimo, what did he do that for? This was his relative. There is a din. believe it or not, there is a din, the tzochal to solemn. You have to be kind to relatives. To be mekarev relatives more so than other people. We all have relatives who are not observant. Sometimes it's difficult to be mekarev those people, but still, a person should always try to be closer to his relatives. If you have religious relatives, the person should try to be closer to the relatives than to some other people. We live in a different kind of a world today, that people go to university and they meet other people from, you go learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year. You meet people from South Africa, from Hungary, from London, Paris, from California, people from all over, so you forget them. So there is such a thing, the Dibur Kabbalah, the Mitzvah Dibur Kabbalah. If so, how to sound, the person has to be Mikarev and relative. In a certain sense, that's like a plain Stettelzik outlook on life, but that's what the Torah wants. We should maintain family contact. Yankel Vina does that by helping out Rachel, and then later on Lavan does that to Yankel by inviting him to stay by him. He has no place to stay. He says, but come stay by me. Strictly speaking, not that it only applies to Yisrael, but Aldera Hamusar apparently it applies to Goyim. The Zim always gave her father to Israel. Even though there's no mitzvah, but still it is an Indian. It's not an Aveir to give Tachacha B'Gan. Not from the Tariyat and Mitzvah Sater, but it is an important thing to give Tachacha B'Gan. Try to straighten out the world that we live in. Then the Rishonim point out also, sometimes a person does something to me for nothing, and he's embarrassed to ask for tashlumin. Or it didn't occur to him to ask for tashlumin. So just because he doesn't ask, so it's not proper for me to think in my mind, look, the guy doesn't ask for any salary, so why should I pay him? So the Rishonim points out that that's not right. Vayom Lavan liYaakov, Lavan volunteers. Lavan understood that Yankov is embarrassed to ask for money. He's putting him up for nothing in his home. So of course Yankov is going to feel uncomfortable. So Lavan volunteers on his own, he's going to give him a salary. Then later on, Lavan saw that he's getting too rich, then he gave him a hard time. But originally he started off with Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz dictates that if a person is doing you a teiva, you should repay the teiva in some way, even if the other fellow doesn't ask that he should be repaid. Derech Eretz requires that you should do something. Then a pasuk says that he said, okay, I'll work for you for a couple of years and I'll marry your daughter Rachel. Then they make a part of it. Yes, if love and kalanche yam lokan vayas mishte. So the Rishonim say mikan lamadnu, that you're supposed to have a wedding feast. You're supposed to have a sudas kasan and a sudas mitzvah. In fact, there is even a machloikis in Rishonim whether the simchas chasam mekala. Whenever there's a chiv simcha, we assume that one of the ways to express the simcha physically, simcha is supposed to be a kin shabalei. But one of the ways to express it physically is by having a suda. So there is even a dispute among the Rishonim whether the simchas chasam is a mitzvah min haTorah or only a mitzvah min derabbanan. The shita is that it's only min derabbanan. And Taisus has a taina against the Bahag. The Bahag says that Avelus Yamishal is their Raisa. The Yantav Shenishal Golius is only the Rabbonon. And the only reason the Gemara gives why Avelus is not Noheg on Yantav Rishon is because the Osi Esid the Rabbon, the Dochi Esid the Yochid. The Esi of Simchas Yantav is Odif, is stronger than the Esi of Avelus. Because Simchas Yantav is an Esi the Rabbim and Avelus is an Esi the Yochid. They're in contradiction to each other, so the one that's stronger takes precedence. But the Bahag is of the opinion, the Bahag and the Rambam and the Rif and the Gaon and the Mechaber Paskin is like that. There are more for Ashkenaz and Amos, we don't pass like that. But the Mechaber Paskin is for Sephardim, that if someone is dies and is buried on Yom Tov Sheni, if it's not the Yom HaMitzvah V'Hakfura, then even the Bahag doesn't say that it's Avelus Yom Rishon is their right. But if it's the Yom HaMitzvah V'Hakfura, the person both died and was buried on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, then Avelus would be the Araisa. And you cannot say that Simchas Yom Tov the Rabbanon, Yom Tov Sheni Chutzlo is only the Rabbanon. You cannot say Simchas Yom Tov the Rabbanon is stronger than Avelus Yom Rishon the Araisa. How, who would it, where did you ever hear such a strange thing? That a mitzvah the Rabbanon is Berich, a mitzvah the Araisa. But that's in the Mechaber Paskin, like this group of Rishonim, that if the Nisa Rapura was on Yom Tashani, they should observe Arvelus. And the Rambam says we don't pass like that. So Tosfos has a kasha against the Bahak. How is he so convinced that you never have a mitzvah de Rabbonim, which is Zech, a mitzvah de Raisa? What about the Gemara in the first parak in Ksubis? But the Gemara says that if the Chosin got married and then one of the parents of the Chosin or the Kala died, so since they already began the Shiva Tamei Mishta, which is a mitzvah simcha, so this mitzvah simcha of the Chosin Kala is Zech, the mitzvah of Avelis. I bet according to the Bahak, the Avelis Yamishan would be the Oraisa. Simchas Chatzin is obviously only with the Rabbanim. There's no Chatzin in the Chumash that there's a mitzvah of Simchas Chatzin. It's a Machta B'chagev, it's on Yom Tov. Maybe even on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Shailen, and we shailen in Akrani, but there's a mitzvah of Simchas Chatzin. But on Simchas Chatzin, so is there a Chatzin in the Chumash that there's a mitzvah of Simchas Chatzin? And nonetheless, the Lord has said, the mitzvah of Simchas Chatzin is Deicha Avelos Yom Rishon, even though the Bahak claims that that's their Raisin. You see that the mitzvah of the Rabbanim can be Deicha in their Raisin. That's the Tosfos' kindness against the Bahak. The Rosh in the beginning of Ksubis, in the first paragraph of Ksubis, quotes from his Rebbe, the Maharam Rutenberg, that he disagrees with the Tosfos' assumption. He says one can answer, one can defend the position of the Bahag by saying Maharam Rutenberg also holds like the Ramah. Maharam holds like the Shittas Balei Tosfos. That there's no Avelus and Rishon Deraisa, all Avelus only the Rabban. But he says the Kasha that Tosfos says against the Bahag is not such a stark kasha. The Bahak can simply answer that mitzvah simchas chosin is also their raisa. So where is their mocker for mitzvah simchas chosin? And many say that this pasuk says vayas mishten. The Chumash describes the fact that they made a party. What's done to tell us that they made a party? What's the significance to teach us that that's the din that you have to express the nidinian of simcha by making a suda?
The Ramah quotes the pasuk in Shir Shirim yom chasnas of yom simchas libo.
Right. The Rosh quotes in the Maharam a different pasuk. Right. Yom chasnas of yom simchas libo. But other Rishonim quote this pasuk. They say that in this parasha we also see that there's a chiyuv simcha. He finds out that it's the wrong girl. He says, what's going on here? So he says, okay, I'll marry the other one too. So he marries both Rachel and Leah. So the Ramban asks the strong kasha. The Gemara says in the end of Kiddushin that came of Avinu Kol HaTorah Kula Ad Shelo Nitzna, if Avraham Avinu fulfilled all the mitzvahs before the Torah was given, that Mesama Yitzchak and Yankov also did. Some all of them did. So how come Yankov married two sisters? So the Ramban has his famous answer that he has in several places in Chumash. He says that Kodem HaSentero, they were volunteering. The Torah says in the Tzuliyosis that only had a significance, it only had meaning in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutzlars it didn't make sense. So that's why Yankov married and the Chutzlars, that was okay. And then he continues to say later in the Chumash, and that's why Rachel died as soon as they came. As soon as they were about to come into Eretz Yisrael, that's why Rachel died. Because he wouldn't be permitted to remain married with two sisters and come back to Eretz Yisrael. It's the Chatelah. Kim of Rome, Yitzchak and Yankov, Kim of Kolot Arifulu, Eretz Yisrael, Ashla Nitna, just the Chutz Lord. So how did the Chacham, how did Yankov seem to think he's going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, marry two sisters? He didn't realize someone's going to die? So that's why other Rishonim say a little differently. They say like the Ramban, the Balei HaTosfos before, this wasn't the Ramban who had it. The Balei HaTosfos before, the Tanakh was, I think, another Rishonim had it from the Balei HaTosfos. Apparently this is an old idea, it's an old tradition. So they said, no, early ishtarya, ishtarya. Once he married them, the hetan and the chutzlar, so then he may remain married with the both sisters, even when he comes back in Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Rishonim say, that's why he hates him to marry Rachel and Leah to be mekadesh them in chutzlar. But once he will be married to them, so then he can even come back to Eretz Yisrael and maintain both of the wives. So it wouldn't be an issue. We discussed, early ishtarya, ishtarya. It was Mishnah and Mishnah Gemara in Yibam with Das Tana Chalav and Menalav. That if a kohen marries an almana and then later he's appointed to be a kohen gadol, so he doesn't have to get divorced. And they appoint him as a kohen gadol. He doesn't have to get divorced from his wife. Since at the time that he married her, the head of the so she may remain with her husband. He may remain with his wife even later. Can't ask every woman who's married to a husband has a hetel of baila. Not some that it's not a beer, no, she has a hetel. she may remain married. But that's what other Rishonim say over here. This would have been also Hoyle Ishtarya. Ishtarya. That's the Ramban's answer. And others give other answers. Maharal Prag in the state of Gerari and Fumish later and Pashu Vayigash gives a different suggestion that perhaps it only makes sense for Torah saying the Mitzvah to volunteer to be Mekayim a Mitzvah. But to volunteer not to violate an Avera, that doesn't make any sense. But the Isser of Shtei HaKoyes was an Isser. So that didn't exist Kodem HaTashar. That's only the Bnei Yisrael, not the Yuma Sarsa. So what, you should volunteer to observe this prohibition not to violate an Isser? Well, why? If it's not an Isser, it's not an Isser, it's Mutter. In the Mitzvah Yisrael, it makes sense to do a Ki Olam Mitzvah, to volunteer in that. That's what the Maharal Mishrak. Iksav Sefer has such a tshuva regarding women reciting brachas of the success of Shadman Gromas that he says he seems to remember as a child. He's a son of Iksav Sefer, has sisters also. He seems to remember as a child that the sisters, the daughters of Iksav Sefer, would recite a bracha when they were Ben Chesrik. Was by definition Ben Chesrik, said bracha when there was the Nezer Luluk. They would recite a bracha. It's also a funny expression. Ben Chesrik. Said bracha on the lulav. You don't say bracha on the lulav. So he says he seems to remember that his sisters would say bracha when they would take the dalmin, but they wouldn't say bracha when they sat in sukkah. That's what he thinks. But maybe if he's right, maybe because they heard kiddush from the father. The father said leishem by sukkah, and they go to kiddush. Nibla Kalamai also didn't say bracha. That's what he thinks. In his older age, he thinks that that was the practice, and he's guessing, thinking back in retrospect, it's probably because it only makes sense to volunteer with Torah Seinu Mitzvah V'yosef to do a mitzvah. So to do a mitzvah is lichol dalad mina. But sit in sukkah on the first night of sukkah is it's a mitzvah. But in the Gemara learns that hamishasa from Chana Masa. But the rest of sukkah, he says that's not a mitzvah to eat in sukkah. It's a mitzvah to eat chutz l'sukkah. But it's not a mitzvah to eat in sukkah. So since it doesn't make sense to volunteer with Torah Seinu Mitzvah V'yosef to be Nisa and not to violate an Isa, so that's why the sisters didn't say a bracha on Yeshiva Sukkah. The whole thing doesn't make sense. So how do men say a bracha? You never say a bracha when you're not going to violate an Isa. How do the men say a bracha on Chalamay Sukkah? Reishabha Sukkah. So doesn't that indicate that it's not just an Isa? It's a Kima Mitzvah. That's a Tamil Digger than Hatzina. That's Hatzina tries like that. That the first night of Sukkah is a mitzvah says to eat in the Sukkah. The rest of Sukkah is just an Isa, because the Gemara learns that Hamishasa from Chagam Matzah, and that's what it is there. The first night is a mitzvah to eat matzah. The rest of the Pesach, there's a mitzvah to eat chametz, there's no mitzvah to eat matzah. So that's very shver, this Ksav Sefer and the Tshuva with the Hatzin is very shver. The Acharonim don't accept it. Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes it in Hatzinah and makes a big spiel about it, but then the Sofi thinks that it's not right. Rabbi Soretik said Rav Chaim also thought that it wasn't right. And this kasha, how can Yankin marry two sisters? There's a famous answer that the Talmidim of Rav Elul will say over in his name, that it wasn't possible for him to violate the Isser of two sisters. The Yerushalayim give different answers. They say Gershon is God's touch. No, they give all kinds of answers over here. But Rav Elul has a new answer that Taka does not appear in the Yerushalayim. He said that in order to violate the Isser of Shtei Achayis, you have to first be married to the first sister. The Mishnah has in Yevamos, the name of the Perek is Noisim Alva Anusa. Let's say man was Ma'anis a girl, he was in the Fateh girls. Bavera. He was living with a single girl, Bavera. And then later on he decides he wants to marry that girl's sister. So that's not a prohibition. He's permitted to marry the sister. The only time he's an Issa, Shtei HaFayis, is if he was married to the first sister. He was never married to the first sister, there's no Issa to marry the second sister. In fact, there's even a discussion in place, if I'm not mistaken, a discussion in place at the beginning of the Ramadan. Whether Shtei HaFayis is only Osir if he had Nisuin with the first sister, or even if he only had Erisin. All of Hashem held against that Taisus. Even Erisin also asked. Taisus has Azadeh in the beginning of Yerom, it's only with Nisuin. But if he was never married with the first sister, certainly not. There's no Isser of Shtei HaFayis. So, Yaakov Avinu lived Kodem Matan Torah. So how could he possibly be married? So the answer is no, there is a Tisus Ishus, there is a concept of an Ishus Ish by Goyim also. One of the Sheva Mitzvahs of Bnei Noach is Arayis, and Arayis includes one of the Arayis is Eishes Ish. So by the Bnei Noach, we also have an institution of Eishes Ish. Parsha Beishas Ish can over here we spell Batlach. There is an exclusion of Beishas Ish. One of their rights. However, Taisus in Kiddushin points out Aspirus. Taisus in the first grand Kiddushin has Akasha. The Gemara says that the Pastayer is permitted to the Jewish soldiers. Aisha si Pastayer, Pigal Aisha Ish. Even if she's married to a husband, you see that it's such an institution of marriage by Goyim. But there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin where it says, Fakir. Isha Shayina Pesachis, Isha Shayina Pesachis, Reyeh, Mos Yumas Hanoei, Bahano Office. That's the Postik in Parshas Achremos, Kedoshim, Parshas Kedoshim. Isha Shayina Pesachis, Isha Shayina Pesachis, Reyeh. Why did he repeat? Isha Shayina Pesachis, Isha Mos Yumas Hanoei, Bahano Office. Why did he have to repeat? Isha Shayina Pesachis, Reyeh. The Gemara says, to teach you a din, Isha Shayina, Pratla, Isha Sacherim. That if the woman is married to Anokri, Acherim is going. The woman is married to an offer, so there's no thesis issues, and you're not fighting. There's no such thing as an Asian Tish by volume. They don't have thesis issues. The Gemara in Kiddushim in the first part says, Asian Tifas Tayar, the rap is even an Asian Tish. That the heter that the soldier has not only to live with a shiksa, even to live with a woman who's an Asian Tish, it's even to live in an institution. Of Eishes Ish. It takes it that simple. Of course there is Ishes, but it's a lower level of Ishes than Yisrael has. In order for Yisrael to be Chayv Nisa for Boal Eishes Ish, you have to have an Ishes Yisrael. Ishes Bnei Noach is a lower level of Ishes. That's a Shaila. To what extent is it a lower level? Here you have one of Kaminas that there's no Chayv Nisa. Yisrael HaBoal Eishes Ish, a Goy is married to a Goy, there is a violation of Eishes Ish. You need a special Heter for the Pastor who's an Eishes Ish. But it's not enough of an issue, it's not a strong enough issue that it should be a chiyuv misa. So that's one of kemina, that the issue of Neinoyev is not sufficient to be mechayiv misa by us. I have come with mechayiv misa by them. That's simple. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin Azarot and Zulim Misos and the Neinoyev achayiv misa for Gezel. The chayiv misa for every avera that they do. The chayiv misa for Eid Manachai. Azarot, many times they violate any asara of the chayiv misa. That's not a kasha. Why they chayiv misa? If their Ishus is a lower level of Ishus, even if it's a lower level, still, anytime they're in violation of it. But by Israel, we're not Chai Nisan and Eid Menachai, we're not Chai Nisan together. We're only Chai Nisan Arayis. Arayis means the Emil McCoy. This would be an Abizrayu of Arayis. It's a lower level of Ishus. What other dinim might you possibly discuss that wouldn't apply to Bnei Noach? So there is a dinim in Achrayim, let's say the dinim of Seifa Asur Labayla. Does that apply to Bnei Noach? Say a non-Jewish woman is married to a non-Jewish man, and she goes and she has an affair with somebody else. And then she does true, he stops. So does the halacha require that he has to get divorced from his wife? And but they get divorced. They don't ask their priest. They don't ask their rabbi. Whatever. They don't ask anybody. They get divorced because they're not a good marriage, obviously. Is she permitted to marry the boy? Or do you say asur b'shem shasur al aval kach asur al aval? Pashtus is, you don't find this anywhere in Shas. This is wild. This is a shuva. This is such a shuva. The Beis Meir has like that in one of his shuvas. The Beis Meir was a contemporary of Rebbe Akiva Egan. So he writes like this. Not the Beis Meir. I think it's in the shuva of Chemda Shlomo. It's in the Sefer Shuva Beis Meir, but this was written by the Chemda Shlomo to the Beis Meir. They were all the same time as the Chemda Shlomo was the Robin Varsha. That was a big city. That was a big rabbi. So the Chemda Shlomo writes like that the Issa is Soito Labayla, Soito Labayla applies even if the woman is a Goyisha woman. Even goes a Chiddush, Agabi Chiddush, he has a Goyisha woman married to a Jew. And in the marriage he says, no, this is Kiddush between a Jew and a Goy. But Ishus Bnei Noach you can have. You can't have Ishus Yisrael, but you can have Ishus Bnei Noach. If you have an intermarried couple, they're married al pidin. And if she'll be Mizana, she'll be Asur al Baila, she is anyway, but she'll be Asur al Baila.
She comes there,
the Gemara does not mention an Avadah. So on the bottom of the page, they published this, Mahon Yerushalayim printed this from a manuscript. So the guy did the work, right on the bottom of the page in the footnotes, that he asked all the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, apparently he was learning in Miri Yeshiva, I think, in Yerushalayim. He says he asked all the big Rabbanim. They all said this is wild stuff. They never heard of anything like this. There should be an Isser of an intermarried woman has an Ishus Bnei Noach, and that there should be an Isser Asur LaBaal, Asur LaBoil. It's unbelievable. They had a whole story about a non-Jewish woman who was a maid in a Jewish home, and she spoke Yiddish, and she knew about Shalom, about Shabbos. She knew kashrus, she cooked in the kitchen, she knew all the stuff. So one fine day she went and she married a Jewish man. And then someone told the Makadish, a Jewish man, and someone told the Jewish man, what are you crazy? What are you marrying a shiksa? So he left town. He never divorced her. He left town. And then the woman was living with another Jewish man. And then someone told the second Jewish man, what are you crazy? The woman is a shiksa. So he said, well, let's convert her. So the woman went, this Polish maid, went to the Chemda Shleimer, right? And he was sitting and talking and learning in his home with two other Talmidei Chachamim. And she came and she started crying and she wanted to become Jewish. So they said, okay, we'll talk about it tomorrow. We're busy now. Come back tomorrow. Started crying and crying. She wants to be Jewish. They said, okay, come back tomorrow. We'll see what we can do. So she didn't come back tomorrow. She went that day to the mikveh. She knew that in order to convert you have to go to the mikveh. She went to the mikveh. The mikveh later let her go to the mikveh. And then she was table in order to become Jewish. So there never was a word of Kabbalah from this. She didn't speak one word, just that she wants to become Jewish. There was no Bezin there at the time she was table on the mikveh. That's what the Chemda Shleimer writes in his letter. He doesn't think there would be any Pesach who would say that the Geirus is not come. Well, you can find a lot of Pesach in the Geirus is not come. The whole thing is wild. But that's in the middle of this whole description, this funny story. It's a wild story. So so that's what he says about she was married to the first guy, and even though it was an intermarriage, and that's piece of Kedusha, but you have to say, oh yeah, and he's by Yisrael, and he's still a boil, so she can't marry the second guy. So the second Jew, even after she converts, is going to be Kishem Shatsu Alabal Kachasaron. So that's what the fellow who put it out, writes in the footnotes. Yes, there are nobody ever heard of this. There is one of the earlier Achronim, before the Chemda Shleimer, had Takachu about a couple who was intermarried. A Jew was married to a Shiksa, that the din of Kol Mashikon, so Yishikon and Bailot line. That when you have a couple that's intermarried, there's no Tvishis Kedushin, there's no Ishis Kedushin, but there is Ishis Bnei Noyah. And even by Ishis Bnei Noyah, there is a din of Mashikon to Yishikon and Bailot. Also, it's a Chiddush Agavi Chiddush. First of all, the Mashikon to Yishikon and Bailot applies to Goyish and marriages as well. It's a takana de rabbonah. It's not a din de right. Kol mashikana v'tana rabbi says that's a din de right. Ain kinyi le'ed v'loy rabbi. But kol mashikana she'itikana bar, that's a takana de rabbonah. Who says that rabbonah made a takana for b'nei noyef as well? So he says in one place of discussion, takana de rabbonah automatically applied to b'nei noyef. Maybe not necessarily so. Maybe we only apply to Eve. And even I feel in Tiflema that it does apply, that there is such a din. But if by an intermarried couple also, the husband is a Jew and the wife is a shiksa, so you also say that there's an issue to name. Oh, yes. How do they know such a day? One of the early Achronim, I forgot already, Bruce Yankin, Shev Yankin, one of those early Achronim, writes the same as the Chemda Shleimer, that when you have an intermarried couple, you observe this prohibition of Shalom Yisrael Shtei Achoyoy only applies if he was married to the first one in Ishus Yisrael. If he only had an Ishus B'nei Noyah, Yankov Vino, the maximum he could have is an Ishus B'nei Noyach. He wasn't given the laws of Ishus. He could volunteer with Tarasenim to the earth, but it won't be Chal and Ishus Yisrael. So he says, Memela, there was no prohibition. There was no Shaykh that he should violate these. And with this, Ragov will explain the Nusach of the Bracha that we say in Birchas Erisim. When you get married, they say the Bracha, Asher Kedushan of the Mitzvahs of Tzivanu Alho Arroyas. That the Rosh Hashanah said, what do you mean with Tzivanu Alho Arroyas? The Rosh in the beginning of Tzuvah says, where do you ever find a bracha that's recited that you say a bracha over not violating an Easter? You always only say a bracha on a mitzvah seseh, drichas on mitzvah. So on a mitzvah seseh, not on a mitzvah slow seseh, when you sit down to eat lunch, you're going to say, Asher Kedushan Rosh Hashanah, Shalom Lecha Macholos Asuras. When you shave with a shave, you're going to say, Asher Kedushan Rosh Hashanah, Shalom Legaleach Tatar. You don't. When you talk and learn, you say a bracha not, that you're not the same Lashon Hara. You don't say a bracha, but it says, so that's what leads the Rosh to say that it's not a bichas mitzvah, it's really a bichas sherech l'hido. That's what the Rosh sounds like he said. That's what the Tosis writes in Sochim, the Zion like that, Pashup Shat in Tosis. So in Tosis you can have a little twist in the Tosis. But Pashup Shat in Tosis is, then it means that it's not a bichas mitzvah, it's all a bichas sherech l'hido. But the Rambam writes not so. The Rambam writes that it's a regular bichas mitzvah. It has to be recited over Lasiyasim. That's machlokes is, when do you say bichas sherech? He said Birchas Erisin prior to the giving over of the ring, before he says Hariyat, Oigalasi Yosam, that's the Rambam writes like that. He won't say the bracha before, it'll be too late to say it after. Columbus is Kum Bracha Lema Oigalasi Yosam, and if you didn't say before, Farfan, you can't say later. And Taisa Shita is Bedavki Lacharasi Yosam.
Taisa says no, it's a bichah shevach v'ido. The first nechas and the rabbi also holds like Taisa. They say the bracha after, but for different reasons. He says because the girl, the chosin's going to say the bracha, and then the chosin's going to say hariyat, the girl will say ha ha, I don't want to marry you. She should walk away. It'll turn out that I said a bracha about tolik. The rabbi says the only time you say a bracha samitzvah over asiyas is when I have full control over the asiyas samitzvah, and I will see to it that it won't become a bracha about tolik. But if I'm told of a das hacherim, so how can I say a bracha before? The girl can walk away and say she refused to change her mind. It turned out that I said a bracha about tov. That's what the rabbi writes. He holds also like the Rama. A bichas seiris and a bichas hamitzvah, but he gives a different reason why you should say it. That's why sometimes about the issue of benching with electric lights. A feeling to Zloima, like many poskim held, that it is the eish. When you have an electric bulb, an incandescent bulb that has a filament that's glowing, not a fluorescent bulb. If you have a bulb that has a filament that's glowing, so many folks know that that's mamashesh. And you say, bracha, l'halik ne'er shal Shabbos, over such a flame. But the shaila is, the electric company may decide to turn off the electric now. But fine, I'm going to bench lit. What if I light a candle that's only going to burn for 15 minutes and it's going to go out before Shabbos? Before Shkia, the light is still shining in. The candles don't help so much. It's when it gets dark outside, that's when the candles help me and illuminate the room. So if I'm going to say L'Hadlik Ner Shal Shabbos on a candle that's only going to last 5-10 minutes, it's Zechar Brachol Matola. So how do I know that the electric company will continue to be kind enough to send me the electricity? They may decide to turn off. We know that they haven't turned off the electricity for the last 200 years. But still, they may decide not to. How many times did a girl back out from a shidduch under the chuppah after she marched down to the island? Still, the rabbi says you shouldn't say a bracha over the last yosem because it may turn out to be a bracha about all. So that's what some Zayla wrote from Shulis in Europe when they started this Einfall of saying a bracha on the Havlik National Shabbos on electric bulbs. They said, how can you say a bracha? You should wait till the middle of Shabbos and then say the bracha over the fact that it continues to burn. But say a bracha on Erev Shabbos. Because you hope and pray and expect that it's going to continue to burn, that's the shayla with an etzah. The Tosfos says, say the bracha b'chas erisin, la'achar nisuin, la'achar erisin, like the rabbi, but v'lav mikameh. They say because it's a b'chas shevach v'hizor. They say it's not a rule of b'chas hamitzvah.
It's better, because it's not a position
of the Zohar, so
what if
the goy
was in a narrow
position?
The goy
was
in
a narrow
position?
No, it's not
totally good. What, the issue is for a goy?
Ish is issue, yeah. There is an issue.
Was the issue of a goyim is good enough to answer hey, maybe not opposition?
Not to create opposition, that's what he said.
Which rai only is issue or any other rai?
All our rais that have to do with marriages don't apply to the issue. Right. Because the issue is going to if it's not Gemara has like that. The Gemara Sanhedrin says like that. They don't have any rai side issues, but the Gemara doesn't give this hezbir. Avraham says this is the pshat. Because their issues is a lower level of issue, because Tosfos points out that it's not Machai Misa by Israel. There is an Issa, but it's not Machai Misa. Since it's a weaker issue, so it's not powerful enough to create the Issa of Eishas Beno, Kaloso, or Eishas Ha'ov, or Eishas Ha'ah. All these prohibitions are Eishas Ha'ov is a Machlech Satana. Yom Tana Hoz Ed Lizos. But so that's how Adolvel explains the terrors for that kashi. He says, according to the Rambam, the Raivad, the Bircha Teres, and it's really Bircha Samitzus, the Taka the Rosh has an eyes in a kashi. What do you mention with Sivanu al Arayas? What are you mixing Arayas for? Arayas is the Hanisha. So he says, the Teres is, the Pshat is, not a Teres, you have to have a Pshat. He says, the Pshat is, you want to say, a Bircha Mekadosh Amisol de Chupa Bikidush, you want to say a Bracha or Bikidush. What does it mean? Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kedishonu B'Mitzvoisa V'Tzivonu. You only say a bracha on a mitzvah that's miyuchat for Klal Yisrael. It's a mitzvah that applies to the Umas Ha'olam also. So what are you going to say? Kedishonu B'Mitzvoisa V'Tzivonu. This mitzvah doesn't stem from the fact that we have a Kedushas Yisrael. The Goyim also have it. What are we saying a bracha upon marriage for? The Goyim also get married. They don't have any longer a mitzvah to get married and have children. They have an institution of marriage. The only time you say a birchas on mitzvah is when the whole Indian only has a shaykhus to the Eden, doesn't have a shaykhus with the Noach. So that's what Rabbi Elbow says. That's why we mention, according to the Rambam and the Raida, that it is a birchas on mitzvah. That's why we mention the tzivon of al ha'arayis, v'asa al anos ha'arus, v'itum anos ha'arus, to stress the difference between Ishis Yisrael and Ishis Bnei Noach. By Ishis Bnei Noach, they have no institution of Eris and versus Nisus. Mora says, Bulas Bal Yesh Lohem Dichmus of the Kukavala Yiva Ba'in Lohem. If she's Bulas Bal, then she's an Ashish. Anything less than that is zero. They don't have Eris.
They don't have all the arayas. We have a tzibanu al arayas. Those arayas that come, the issues, cannot exist by the name. So that's what Rav Elbel explained the Nusach HaBrocha according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam and the Ravid, that really is a birchas hamitzvah. But we mentioned the arayah is in order to stress the fact that we're creating now an issus Yisrael as opposed to an issus b'nei noyim. Mm-hmm. Some sefer has a different interpretation of that. But Sivanu Aloras, in order to answer the Rosh's kasha, what kind of a nusach? What do you mix in? Gili arayah is in the middle of a birchas hamitzvah. Birchas hamitzvah should be a mitzvah, it's not an isur. The Sam Sofer has a wild suggestion that the word arayis doesn't have anything to do with Gilei arayis. It means to hug. The husband should hug his wife. Alo arayis. The pasuk says in Divrei in Malachim or in Divrei Yoyim, I forgot. It says when Shlomo HaMelech built the Bais Rishon and they had the Kruvim were hugging each other. Kimar ish v'liv yosai, like a husband hugs his wife. Kimar. So the word ma'ar means to hug. Mu'uris. Mu'uris du bezu. Bukha du bezu. Mu'uris. Mura begin. You know, in the first parak in Beit, about a Beit on a time ago, but Mura begin. Mura begin means that it's attached to the, still attached to the body of the hen, with the blood vessels on either side of the egg. So Mura means that it's attached and hugging and holding each other. So that's what he said. So funny pshat. She presented with Sivanu Allah Arayis, and Baruch Hashem commanded us to hug our wife. A little bit, sounds like Sheva Brachas term, but he hasn't any Kriptin. He has a Kriptin in that song, so he had a good sense of humor and stuff. Not everything that he wrote he meant, he wasn't always so dead serious. I don't know if he ever was so dead serious. Today they paint the picture that Sam Sofer was such a dead serious man. When you read his Tshuvas, he seems like, you get the impression he must have been a very cheerful man. He wrote a very cheerful style, he was.
There's no
only Bula's Baal, they have no Eris.
So we got the whole bracha of Kedushin. Make a bracha of Kedushin, so there's only Kedushin.
Right. So that's what Rabbi Alba said. We stress these two differences. We stress Sivanu, Vasot Lanos HaRuas, Bito Lanos HaSua, the Iker is we're stressing we have an Indian of Erisin and Insuin, which Dumas Adam don't have. We have an Indian of Arais, which they don't have. And this is to indicate that our kiddush and our issues is very different from theirs. We have not kiddush medina. So that's why we are able to recite a birchas hamitzvah on getting married.
You only need to mention the arayas part besides the sum, not besides the heirs of the law. You don't need any special proof or any other proofs to show one session. You can always start with Sivanu Allah.
The heirs, we mentioned the heirs. We mentioned two things, the heirs, and we mentioned the arayas to indicate that our issues is different from issues medina. It says that Yaakov Avinu was so rich. Vayishma Dibri bin Elov and Lain Melokach Yaakov is Kol Asher Lavinu. Asher Lavinu also is Kol HaKobel Hazeh. You get rich, everything comes from our father. So the Medrash has a comment on the word Kobel. Kol HaKobel Hazeh. Ain't Kobel El HaMomen. Never. Also is Kol HaKobel Hazeh. But in the Parashim Esk HaKashah, that in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos, it says Ain't Kobel El HaKobel Shinemar. Shinemar. Kobel Chacham in Yisrael. But the quote from the Gomel Goyen that the word covered is sometimes spelled Maulay, sometimes spelled Fasek, sometimes with above, sometimes without above. Here it's written Fasek. Kol HaKovet HaZeh is Fasek of Sikhus. Fasek, covered Fasek is Maulay. Covered Maulay, the real covered, that Fasek, covered Chacham Yechovet, that Fasek is written Maulay. The Gomel Goyen has a lot of times like that. Someone wrote, there was a German rabbi who wrote a separate sefer on this. Every Mali and Chosim in Tanakh where the Chachamim had a drasha. He dug up a lot of things that we never really realized that the Chachamim. I want to mention at the beginning of Kedoshim, he has it in a sefer. Kedoshim di Kikodashani. So the word Kedoshim is Chosir, and Kikodashani is Mali. That's what Rashi says. Yochol Kamoni Tamalami Kikodashani Kishasi Lamalam Mikdushaschem. Where did the Chachamim see that? So that's what this fellow said. Where, there's a medrash on that pasuk. Where do they see that? Because that word is mole and that word is kosik. Kedoshim, see, it was kosik. Kodeshani is mole. You have a lot of drushes in the Gemara that may have been based on the fact that something is written mole or kosik. Anyway, that doesn't matter. They felt that the Jews were ripping them off. Like in Germany, like in America, they said Jews are stealing all the money. They're cheating all the money. The Yagmavina said he better pack up and leave. So instead of just packing up and leaving, he calls his wife. He hears the Nebuah from the Rabbanu Shalom. Vayem Hashem al Yankim, you have to leave. So he says, Vayishlach Yankim, Vayikol Arach al Alei HaSod al Salma. He calls them, he speaks to them, and he tells them he had a Nebuah. Instead of just saying, they're leaving, doesn't just make the decision. He tells his wife, they had a Nebuah, we should go. What do you say? He asks them. So they tell him, yep, okay, we're masking with the Rabbanu Shalom. So the Rishonim say, we can't lean the Torah derech eretz, that a husband shouldn't just, a husband or a wife, or a reshutim, you shouldn't just make a decision, that's it. One person decides I'm smarter than everybody else and I know the correct thing to do. I'm going to run the business the way I want. They're in a marriage. That partner is going to, the husband and the wife, they're going to do it because they know. Of course he knows better. He had a nevuah. What can be better than a nevuah? No, you should go with derech eretz and consult the other partners. And then the decision should be made with everybody all together. And he tells his wives, does what they want to leave. So he says, Raya Noch is Kne Avichem Vein, anyway, like his small Shulshon. Plus the K. And one of the Svarim that has a very fascinating shot based on a Yerushalmi in Taisus in Kiddushin, the first parak quotes a Yerushalmi that when you plant a new tree, so there's a din of Horloff, that the first 2 years you're not allowed to have hanor from the fruit. What if you didn't plant a new tree? What if you have a tree that's already growing and you just took a branch, havrocha, you took a branch from the tree and you didn't break it off, you just pulled it down in the ground and you pulled it up and now another tree is growing there. So the din is, they called man that new branch is yone from the old tree. You don't have to observe the laws of orlo anew on this. The old tree is already 5 years old. You don't have to observe the laws of Orban. This is considered a branch of the other tree, the Lahamshach of the other tree. When it's no longer Yonek from the old tree, then it's considered a new tree, and then you have to start answering the pairs of this tree for the first 3 years in the Orban, and the fourth year is going to be revived. So how is the person going to have the Ruach HaKadosh to know when the branch is still Yonek from the old tree, when it's not? So the Yerushalmi tells his quotes in Rosh Hashanah, first pair of Rosh Hashanah, and the first pair of Kedushin tells his quotes that Yerushalmi. The Ran quotes it. Ran quotes in Rosh Hashanah. Yerushalmi says, we have a psychological principle. Hai mandach of the last day, bohim istakule biyape. If I'm living off of you, I'm not making my own living. You're being the finest me, so I would be embarrassed to look you straight in the face. Embarrassed out of pusher, because you're giving me food. But if I'm an independent person, I make my own parnasta, so then I'm not embarrassed to look you straight in the face. So that's what the Yerushalmi says, that this umdina even applies to trees. So the Yerushalmi says that the kozman, the tree, the new tree is still yoni from the old tree. It will never lean in that direction. It will always lean in a different direction. But when it starts to lean towards in the direction of the old tree that it's still attached to, is the vadai biyodua, it is no longer yoni from the old tree. As I state in Yerushalmi. But the Yerushalmi starts over the psychological umdina by people. Hai mandoch of the lovely day, one who is eating someone else's food, is bohis, he's embarrassed, he's takula biyata. That's what one of the Svarim writes over here. That originally Yaakov Avinu was living in Lavan's home and he was embarrassed to look Lavan straight in the face because he was feeding him mamish tzedakah, giving tzedakah. So the Oni who was receiving the tzedakah, Yaakov was receiving the tzedakah, his uncle Lavan was embarrassed. But then he says, times are different, as the pasuk says, by Rachani Hashem Biglavecho. When Yaakov Avinu came and then Lavan was making so much money, all the bracha because taking the tamachof and bracha, the Gemara says in bracha. When Yaakov came, so then Lavan became a richer man, so then Yaakov himself didn't feel uncomfortable looking Lavan in the face anymore. So he says, Roya Anochi et Pnei Avichim. I can now look your father straight in the face. Okay, and then I like this Moshe Lashon. That's not the way it was in the beginning. When I first moved in, I was embarrassed to look him straight in the face because he was giving me stuff. But now I can look him straight in the face. He's embarrassed to look at me in the face. He realizes that his whole Ashiris is Machmasi. That's what one of the Svarim writes. That's not the Pashto Shem. That's what one of the Svarim The Antena Yadatin Ki Bechol Koichi Abadat Yez Avichin says he worked Bechol Koichi. The Rambam quotes this halacha. That a Pohel Mechuyib Lavet Bechol Koichi. This is very often violated, unfortunately. In all of the offices, in all the businesses, people have a job, they're supposed to work whatever from 9 to 5, and they don't put in a full day's work. So that's the outright gazelle. You're given a salary to do a full day's work, you're supposed to work. And even if you, and even if all day long you're working, but you can do the work, you can streamline the work and do it faster. You can do it faster. I remember Rabbi Tendler's son, Yaakov Tendler, was in Eretz Yisrael for a while in a hospital, then he came back to America. He said they gave him such a hard time there. All the other doctors were complaining. He used to take care of 50 things in one day, like in America. He was trained in America to take care of 50 patients in a day. And the other doctors in the hospital said, what are you working so hard for? They're going to be angry at us. Why we don't take care? They only did 20 a day, 15 a day. He said, they're going to give us a hard time. Why we don't do 50 a day? That's terrible. That's good anger. If a person, I'm talking, a guy's going crazy, he's not eating any food, he doesn't breathe, he just runs from one to the other. So normally, at the normal pace, a person is able to do much more work for the boss, so that's understood. And just because the doctor before me who had the job, or the other secretary before me, was a retard, and then they can only type 4 letters a day, so that's no, and they're paying me the same salary that they paid her. So you have a favor, don't take the job. But if you took the job, and if you took the job and you agreed to that salary, and you were able to write, to type 50 letters a day, you know how to put it on the computer and type 1,000 letters a day. So you're mechuyev to do 1,000 letters a day. That's not loch. The poel is mechuyev lavet b'chol person. Yaik Ravina went l'fnei mishur sadin. Tells my lover comes to me and says, you're not mechuyev. A normal worker is not mechuyev to work so hard. But this b'chol kochi avarti, this is taka de din. That every poil is mechuyev to work like that. When Lovan catches up with the chases after Yaakov, he catches up with him. Says to him, Viata. Aloha lachta ki yourself and safta the base of the Lomagan after Esalahoi. So the front of the office has a very fascinating comment on the Pasuk. He says there are two dinim, the assumption that he makes is interesting. He says there are two dinim, but we should distinguish between Jews and non Jews. One din is that a poem. A poil can quit from the work in the middle of the day. The Gemara says in Bava Tzira, that's based on the pasuk, "Kibbein Yisrael avadim v'lo avadim l'avadim." So that only applies to a Jew. But if you have a non-Jewish worker, it follows from the Gemara. If you have a non-Jew has a job and he committed himself to do a job, let's say till the end of the year, till the end of the season, so it should follow that he's not allowed to quit in the middle, because the whole half of the quit is only "Kibbein Yisrael avadim l'avadim l'avadim." Doesn't apply to B'nai Nav. And then there's another difference, there are many differences between a Jew and a God, but he says when he gets to this Pasuk Lamed, Perek Lamed Al, Pasuk Lamed, the other difference is that if a Nochri has an Avodah Zarah, he can become Muta Banoa by somebody being Mevatlet. But if you have an Avodah Zarah Shal Yisrael, if a Jew acquires ownership of an Avodah Zarah, let's say a Goy gives it to him or a Goy sells it to a Jew, and the Jew possesses an Avodah Zarah, so then it doesn't have any Bitma. So the front of the office suggests that maybe that's typed in the Pasuk Vata, Haloch, Halachto. You quit in the middle. It says that he sneaks out. Yaakov sneaks out in the middle. He doesn't get the permission from Lavan to quit. So what right did you have to quit in the middle of the job? Because you hold that you have a din of a Yisrael, and Yisrael has a right to quit in the middle of the job. What did you accomplish by stealing the idol? If it's going to become an Avodah Zarah Shel Yisrael, there's no pitbull. Elamai, you hold that you have a din of a Ben Noach. This is a pitbull. When Melech claims that there was a machloekes between the places in the Ramban, at the end of Parshas and Mor, there's a Ramban and Chumash. with the Mishnah Melech and the Sefer Parashat Zerah, and understood that this was the Machlokes Tosfos and Ramban, whether the Ovid Kodesh Matan Torah had a din of Benoah, had a din of Yisrael. So the way it's usually assumed, Tosfos holds they had a din of Benoah, and the Ramban says it's not true they had a din of Yisrael. It's a question whether that's really the Pshat, but that's the famous interpretation of the Mishnah Melech and the Machlokes. So that's what the Haflos says on this Pshat, that Lavan had a tiny to him, Iman of Shach. If you hold that you have a din of Ben Yisrael, and that's why you have a right to quit in the middle of the job without my permission, so what do you think you're going to accomplish by stealing the idols? Once it comes, an Avodah Zarah shall become a Mevatla. Ella, my, you hold you have a din of a Goy, so you're going to be Mevatla Avodah Zarah, you'll be Nena from it, it'll be Mutamano. But if you have a din of a Goy, you couldn't quit in the middle of the job. So Iman of Shach, I got you. That's what he said. Pasuk Lamed is a tiny with an Iman of Shach. The pasuk says that when Lavan was looking for his trucking, when Lavan was looking for the trucking, so he comes into the Ohel Rachel, and she was sitting on the trucking. So the pasuk says that she didn't get up at all, and she said derech nashim. So the Ramban and pasuk lamed hey. The Ramban has a comment on that pasuk. So what kind of an explanation is that derech nashim? She doesn't feel well. And Isha Nida can't stand up. Liza, she had such cramps that she couldn't stand up, and her father walked in. They're very unusual. So the Ramban has his famous interpretation that the practice in the Middle East, that part of the world, was, still is, in certain. Parts of the world, that they think that you have to be misrachik from a nida. The word nida means hachoka. The word nida means hachoka. So they're afraid to speak to a nida, to touch a nida, not because of any yisurim or anything. They're afraid that they're going to be contaminated, and it's going to be a ruach ro, and everything's going to be terrible. So that's why they used to have a hachoka. That's why she said she doesn't want to stand up even, because she's going to stand up, she's going to wave the air, and this will be unhealthy for the father. But that's what she's telling me. For your own good, I'm not going to do it. But some point out that perhaps this is the understanding of what you have in the Gemara in Ksubis. The Gemara has their special hakokas, ishto nido, that don't apply to other women, let's say yeshishish and others. There are additional hakokas that apply to ishto nido. Some say that this is all a kiyum of the din d'araisa, not just the hakokir, the din, that's the din to an avera. All of these hakokis fit into the word nido. The word nido means hakokir, by definition. That's what the Ramban claims. Maybe all of these hakokis, the Rabbanan, are a way of fulfilling the din of nido. Since the din of nido is hakokir. This pasuk in today's Haftarah is the famous story with the Nadav Yehuda. Nadav Yehuda has a tshuva where he pours out his anger at the Chassidim, but he was very anti-Chassidish. He lived for a while in the same community with the Baal Shem Tov. So the story goes that once the Baal Batim, years ago, not everybody had a lulav and esrog. So they would buy a lulav and esrog for the rabbi, and he would give him a matana and a slash to teach Baal Avodah. So one of the Baal Batim came over and he started saying Mashen Yichud. And when Yehuda took it back, he says, "Oh no, not on my Esri. You're going to say Mashen Yichud, he's not going to give him his Esri." So he wrote a whole tshuva why you don't have to say Mashen Yichud in this Keneged Adin, because the Halacha says that Stam Lishman, the first Datin Zvachim, and everybody assumes that he's doing a Mashen Mitzvah. And if he says Mashen Yichud, that he has Kavan Allah, so it's as if he demonstrates the Keneged Halacha that if he wouldn't have said the Mashen Yichud, he doesn't have Kavan. All right. So he's all angry. And then he concludes his tshuva, the last line in the tshuva, he writes, Yisharim d'achi Hashem, tzadikim yochavom v'chassidim yikoshlevom. But the chassidim always do everything wrong. And the tzadikim yochavom, the Torah is so clear and so straight, and the chassidim do everything wrong, and the mesnagim do everything wrong. So the printer changed, the printer didn't want to print it like that, so he changed it back to the way it said in the pasuk, and he wrote, Oposhim yikoshlevom. So the story goes that the Nadav Yehuda commented to the printer, "What did you do? I took the Poshim and I made them into Tzadikim. You took, I took the Poshim and I made them into Hasidim. You took the Hasidim and made them into Poshim." That's supposed to have been his response.